Thank you, Jeff and the worship team. Isn't it wonderful to sing together as a church? You know, something happens when God's people get together to worship. And it's a truly special time. Apart from singing in a shower and occasionally in the car, I look forward to Sundays to worship together with God's children and my brothers and sisters. Let's just pray before we go to God's word. Father, yes, as Jeff prayed, what amazing grace. Lord, I remember there was a day when I too was lost. When you came along and broke the change. The day you saved me as well, Lord. I'm so grateful. I'm so amazed by that grace. And then today, Lord, we trust you to do even more. To work even more in our hearts. To change our hearts even more. Do that then in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to open tonight with two slides, and I want to see if you recognize these slides. So the first one, if you put it up, what is that? Don't be embarrassed. We won't judge you. That's a drive-thru at McDonald's. Anyone used that before? Your hand, please. Yes, there's a few good people here tonight. Maybe you go to the drive-thru like these people in the next slide. I know some of you guys, that's how you roll. But the drive-thru is a very popular thing these days. We use it. It's easy. You just sit in your car and you drive and you order whatever meal you want. If it's KFC or McDonald's or what have you, and it's great. You don't even have to get out of your car. You can have the aircon on and enjoy your meal. Then I want to take you to the next slide. I saw this one on the internet, a drive-through church. You probably can't read there, but it says we can do a service in under 5 minutes. Now, I know some of you might think that's a good place to go, but I want to make a case against that today. That's a real church in the States. Under 5 minute service. I'm not sure how it works, but, you know, these days we want everything quick and easy, and I want to make an argument against that this evening. That God wants us not to have a drive-through church, but a different church. Imagine it's Christmas. Christmas is coming up, and maybe your family is like mine. We have a big Christmas lunch. And everything is packed out, the spread. Mom spends a lot of time in the kitchen, and there's a big spread. Now imagine sitting on for that spread. Everybody is around the table. The food is ready. Everything is ready. And Dad says, 2 seconds, then it's gone. You've got 2 seconds to eat. Now some of you guys can probably do it in 2 seconds, right? Yeah, I see some of those strong young men there. But that'll be a disappointment to me. Because there's this whole meal in front of you, and you can't enjoy it. And I think sometimes us Christians want a drive-through experience at church, just in and out, and we want to, you know, just be quick about it, and we miss out on the wonderful meal that God has in store. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 16. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the good work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now the context of Ephesians 4 is about the unity of the body. God wants His church to unite. There were some folk in the church that were arguing. There was some striving and some difficulties. And Paul wants to tell the church we must unite. So in verses 1 to 6, you'll find that. Church, unite. And then from verse 7, he goes on with the argument. But he gets more practical about how this uniting will work. Why should the church not be a drive-through church? Why should we do it different? Well, the first point I want to make tonight is every Christian was given a gift from Christ. Every Christian was given a gift from Christ, a spiritual gift. Now, a spiritual gift is not a talent or a skill. You can kick the ball. Now, you become a Christian, you kick the ball further. No, it doesn't work like that. It's a spiritual gift, a divine enablement to do ministry for the kingdom. A divine enablement that only God can give. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12 are scriptures that talks about these things, and we don't have time to go into the gifts in depth tonight. We'll do that on another occasion. But these spiritual gifts are given to every person, each one of us. But why? Because God wants to build up His church, and He wants to make you grow. To who is it given? To you. If you say you're a Christian. The qualification to receive the gift is that you must be a Christian. You know, it's not you must read through the whole Bible before you get a gift. Or, you know, you must first grow maturity before you earn the right to get a gift. If you become a Christian today, you receive the gift today. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of grace. So many people feel inadequate and don't realize that God has given you a divine enablement to minister to the body. And those gifts are in different categories. If you go read 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 14, you'll get some of those categories. But we've got to find out where God can use us. You don't qualify for a gift. It's given. Verse 7, it's by grace given to us. Oh, that's wonderful news to me. It's by grace given to us. We don't deserve the gift. It's not something that depends on me. I don't have to be grand or fancy or smart or skilled or my marks at school don't have to be 90% or I don't qualify. Everybody gets a gift and it's given by grace. By grace we were saved on the cross. And by grace, we received this gift. And to be honest, guys, let's be honest with one another tonight. This is a practical thing about what are we doing in church? Not only in church, but out there. Are we using what God has given us to build the kingdom? Christianity is not something you do for God. It's something He's done for us. It's by grace that we get this gift. But we can also ask, by whom is it given? And the Bible tells us here, but it's given by Christ. Verse 7 to 10. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then it talks about the ascending in verse 8 and 9 and to 10. It's a quotation from, verse 8 is a quotation from Psalm 68, which is a psalm about God's glorious victory, where he overcomes the enemy and is victoriously going up the mountain, and he has all the stuff he acquired with him, the spoils of war that he brought back from the war, and all those the enemy captured brought back brought back home with him, and he's victorious and he's powerful, and there's this image that he's unstoppable. And Paul wants to tell us this very same victorious God is the one that gives us this gift. That's a powerful image. So this gift that we get is from Jesus Christ. Now, again, it's almost Christmas time. How many times have you gotten a gift that you've never used? Anybody have? I won't ask you to put up your hand on this one. Some family members. But I've gotten some gifts that's probably still in the drawer somewhere, you know. I remember when Natasha and I got married, we got some gifts that we just gave away later on to other people. Yes, maybe you received one of those gifts. You know, sometimes you get a gift and you can't use it, you know. Or you maybe you just, it's in a drawer, it's useless. Well, this is a gift that is useful and that we need to use. And you know, imagine Bill Gates. You know Bill Gates, one of the richest guys in the world. Imagine he tells you, listen here, Peter Skinner, I'm buying you a present for Christmas. Huh? How cool will that be? I think he's like $70 billion. He can buy you probably anything you need. That's impressive. I would be excited about Bill Gates buying me a gift. Send an email, Miskin, tomorrow. But this is a gift from Jesus Christ, from God. You know, and what are we doing with that gift? Are we just shelving it? Are we putting it in a drawer? Are we forgetting about it? Are we hoping someone else will have a use for it? No. It's a gift from Jesus. He paid a heavy price for that gift on the cross. It's a free gift to us, but it cost him his life. Heavy price. Ephesians 4 verse 1. Therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Guys, do you hear that? Worthy lives. Use your gift to honor God. We can ask, why did we receive this gift? Why was God so gracious to give us this gift? And we can read from verse 11, and he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, to grow and build up the body. That's why we received this gift. You know, the apostles and the prophets were the foundational gifts. If you read in chapter 2, verse 20, you read that God gave these guys to start the church and to get it moving. And we're very grateful to those men that did this work. And then you get the evangelist and the shepherd teachers. Now, the shepherd teachers in the Greek, it's actually one. I see in the Greek it's one guy. These are people that he's talking about, gifts that God gave to these men. And God gave these men as a gift to the church. So in the Greek, it's not in the ESV. But it will be, I gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and then some as shepherds, teachers. There's not a some in front of shepherds and teachers. So that's why I think it's one person, a shepherd teacher. A shepherd teachers we'll probably call pastor or elder today. So the evangelists and the shepherd teachers are those whose responsibility it is today to equip the saints. It's a challenge. That's why we have these services. That's why we preach on Sundays. That's why we are trying our best to do a job of equipping the church. And sometimes we fail. Sometimes someone drops through the, just we forget about them or we just don't get to them. But I want to encourage you to listen in services. You know, some people take notes. My wife is a note taker in a service. You'll see her taking notes, and you can probably, she's the best note taker I know. And I'm not a note taker. If I take notes, I'm the guy that starts drawing pictures and forget about where were we again, you know? So that's me. So if I take a pen and paper, I'm going to start drawing pictures later on. But I'm always consciously trying to figure out what is God saying to me through this. You know, sometimes we sit through a service like this and we leave and we learn nothing. We learned nothing. We didn't pay attention. We didn't answer the question, what was God trying to tell me? And these are opportunities where we can be taught and where we can be exalted and built up, equipped. The Word of God, if you take all these men God gave to the church, it was people who proclaimed the Word of God. It's about God's Word being proclaimed. Even the evangelist today is the guys, we've got them in church, they are the guys who reach out and bring the unsaved in. I think Johan and Engeli are evangelists. They are evangelists. Their heart, their passion is the lost. And statistics say 10% of you here tonight have the gift of evangelism. I'm thinking there's 200 people here. Maybe 20 of you. Evangelists reaching out, bringing in the lost. Campus outreach guys, evangelists. See Nemi smiling there. And then it's for the pastor teachers to equip and to build you up. But you've got to be willing to come. You've got to be willing to be teachable. You've got to be willing to change. You've got to be willing to go. Otherwise, we're wasting our breath. So God gives you this gift that you must use to build up the body. And God gives pastors and teachers to equip you to use that gift even better. And when we do it, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the state of the fullness of Christ. You see, that's how you get to a mature Christian. You know, there's no shortcut to becoming a mature Christian. There's no shortcut. You've got to be teachable. You've got to learn the Word. You've got to study the Word yourself. You've got to come to church and listen to God's Word and apply it in your life. And then, not only that, you've got to use the gift God gave you to minister yourself. When I was in grade, 11, our church started a gospel taxi club. So, I was a young Christian, and we started this gospel taxi club, and we had nice white caps and a gospel taxi club t-shirt, and we had tapes back then. Remember those? Cassettes? Yes? Okay, I wanted to say CDs, but it'll be a lie. It was tapes, and we took these tapes to the taxi ranks, and tracks, and these tapes with sermons, and you know, that simple thing I did changed my life. Changed my life completely. I grew spiritually in ways I've never experienced before. And I believe this is what this passage is saying. You want to be a mature Christian? Not only hear the Word, not only read the Word, but do the Word. You know, and like I said earlier, these gifts are free. And it's not up to your abilities. Praise God, it's not up to my abilities. It's a divine enablement. It's a unique gift that God only gives to you. And we're not the same. All the teachers aren't the same. All the evangelists aren't the same. All those with the gift of mercy aren't the same. It's different. Unique. Sometimes people are scared to get involved with the gifts because they're scared they'll make a mistake. Or people will be, excuse me, critical. Yes, that might be true. But that's the only way to learn. Make mistakes. Please, make mistakes. I make mistakes every week, maybe every day. But you learn through the process. But don't just, you know, put the gift on the shelf because you're afraid. Maybe we need to help you. Maybe we need to equip you better. So if you don't know where you can slot in or what my gift is, or, you know, you're just unsure, come talk to us, please. Talk to any of the elders, any of the leaders in the church that you think is godly men, women. And find out. Don't let just pass you by. Because, listen to what it says, if you're not mature, then you are like little children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You know? So, there's nothing more irritating than a grown-up that acts like a child. You know? Sometimes you get grown-ups, guys like 40, 50, you know, but he's still like a child. And sometimes I'm that guy. Yes. But it's irritating. It's not right. There's nothing sadder than something that doesn't grow. Never, ever, ever give me and Natasha a plant to babysit for you. We kill plants. We are plant killers. I remember a few times people have tried this and give us they go on holiday. And funny enough, nobody's ever given us our children to babysit. But that's maybe a different story. So we get this plant and we're supposed to take care of it. I don't know, by week one, the plant is dead. And it's sad. And we are, what did we do? You know, there's nothing sadder than something dying. And you know, there's nothing sadder than something not growing. Imagine a little baby that stays a baby. Imagine you were still like a baby, but with your face now. I'll be ugly, buddy, sorry. You know, it's just not right. It's just not right. That we are Christian babies. We are born into Christianity, but we remain Christian babies. Tell me, how long have you been saved? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years? Are you growing? Or are you still in the same place you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Are you still the same, in the same growth spot, exactly left where you were? You know, we take the kids and every now and again we put them against this one spot in the door, and I don't know if you guys have done this, and you mark their length. And they are so super excited every now and again to see if they've grown. And you know, in a year's time, it's a little bit and they've grown. And there's excitement. But imagine if old Zander, my oldest boy, there, we measure him this week, and next year he's just the same. We will call the doctor immediately. There will be a problem, because he needs to grow. Kids grow. Are you growing as a Christian? You do that by listening to God's word, reading God's word, and practicing the gift that God gave you. And that leads to verse 15. Rather speaking the truth in love. You know, that's what happens when you grow up mature and mature in Christ. You speak the truth in love. Now, this is not the truth, you know, in love. You know, like, I've got to fire you today, but I'm going to do it in a loving way. Or, you know, that dress is not nice, but I'm going to tell you in a loving way. This is not what it says, truth in a loving way. This is biblical truth in a loving way. Telling people about God's word in a loving way. And that's not popular these days. I heard a sermon by John Piper a few weeks ago where he just at his son's school, they've got these posters up about, you know, lesbians and gays and homosexuals are in the same category as, you know, race problems and all that bundled up together. And he had to speak out on that. And it was difficult. You know, this week, I don't know if you saw in the papers, the Dutch Reformed Church approved homosexual marriages, pastors. It's terrible news. You know, I've got many Afrikaans friends that are in the church, in the Dutch Reformed Church, and I'm asking them, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? You can't just keep quiet. You've got to tell the truth in love. That's what happens when we grow up mature and mature in Christ. We tell the truth in love. And we are grown up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. That's where we're going, guys. All these spiritual gifts that God gives us, we find in Jesus perfected. Every single gift, Jesus is perfect. So when we do these gifts, we can ask ourselves the old question that always works. How would Jesus do this? What would Jesus do here? Verse 16 is so beautiful. From whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. So Jesus puts together the bunch of people we have here tonight. Every Christian with a different gift. Maybe some of you have the same gift. We don't know. But God, in His might, and Jesus through His wisdom, knows exactly what Central Baptist Church needs. And can I tell you tonight, Central Baptist Church, if you're a Christian, needs your gift. Because God put you in Central Baptist Church for a reason. There's a gap where your gift needs to be operated. Years ago, we moved into a place and we had a big 13-kilogram washing machine. And the space where the washing room was too small for the washing machine to fit through. And you guys know what I did. I didn't buy a new washing machine. No, I took it apart. Yes, I took it apart every little bit. And I'm not technical. I won't rate myself as technical. But by the end of it, the washing machine was inside. And by washing machine, I mean parts were inside the washing room. Success. But then I had to start assembling this thing. Boy, was that a challenge. I took photos and drawings beforehand, so I thought I was very confident that I'll be able to put this together. And I did. Sort of. Everything worked except it wouldn't spin, which was a minor problem. So I had to take it apart again, take it out again, get it fixed, take it apart again, put it inside. And by God's grace, it worked. And I did this like 3 times with that washing machine. But I tell you, it's a difficult job to put stuff together. It was a nightmare. It's so wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is the one that puts us together. The combination of gifts that I see here tonight, it excites me. I get excited to see some of you I already know. And I get excited to see you just operating in your gifts and being out there and ministering and being available and working for God. It's wonderful. But I also see a few of you that God put here. And you're just idling. Can I be honest with you tonight? Hey, we can. Where are you tonight? God knows what He's doing. You're here for a reason. And you must operate in your gift. Because when each part is working properly, what happens? Verse 16, the last part. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When each part is working properly. Oh, I've got a middle ear infection, or what do you call it, water in somewhere in my middle ear for a week now. So as I'm standing here, I'm hearing, you know when your TV has no signal, that white noise, the zzzz, I've got that in my head right now, and I can't hear out of my right ear at all at the moment. It feels like someone took an injection, put a lot of water in my ear, and just left it. And it's been like that for a week now, which sometimes helped because I just could say I didn't hear. But it's awful. It's awful. You know, have you tried to speak on the phone with the ear? So every time I pick up the phone, I put it here and I realize I can't hear it. I switch it back this time. You know, everything is affected. I sit and work on busy typing and this noise is just in my head. And sometimes the frequency goes higher. If I turn my head, I pick up different frequencies. No, I'm not joking. It's like that. I'm genuinely serious. But it's terrible. It's terrible. One part isn't working. Just my ear, but it affects everything. If one of you aren't using your gifts, you're affecting the body. If one of us isn't working properly, it affects the whole body of Christ. And remember, this is about unity. This is about being a team. Now, I love rugby. And in rugby, you have defensive lines. That basically means there's a line of guys standing right and left of you, and it's a big old line. And if one of the guys break the line, if you don't go up together, and one stays behind, a try will be scored. We are a team, guys. As Christians, God put together this wonderful team we call the church. Not to just drive through, but to build His kingdom, build His church. Why do we do it? Because we honor God. It's about Jesus. It's about loving Him, about building His kingdom. Oh, so many people complain about the church. We don't see that. We don't see that. I saw this. A colleague of mine put this on the internet. There are 12 reasons why I, as a pastor, have decided to quit attending sports events. Can you guys see that? Now, for those who can't read there, the reasons why I have decided to quit sporting events: the coach never came to visit me. Every time I went, they asked for money. The people sitting in the row didn't seem very friendly. The seats were very hard. The referee made a decision I didn't agree with. I was sitting with hypocrites. They all came to see what others were wearing. Some games went into overtime and I was late to getting home. The games are scheduled, the band played songs I had never heard before. My parents, you know, so and so and so. You get the drift. You know, sometimes we complain about church. But this was kind of refreshing to read, and I was giggling while I read it, because I thought some of these stuff we get in church, people just want to get through. They don't want to work together. It's more, man, I'm just here to complain. I'm just here to be difficult. Are you one of those people that are just here to make life difficult for others? Or are you here to work together? Because that's what a united body does. We work together and we give one another grace. For when we work together and that guy doesn't do it exactly like I'll do it, it's fine. There's grace. And maybe I'll lovingly come alongside him and give him some advice and pray for him or her. But we are a team. And you've got a unique gift that God gave to you that we need here at Central and that God wants to use at Central. Let me close. We sang that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet that sound. It is amazing grace. But let us hear the challenge of verse 1 of chapter 4, that we live lives that are worthy. I don't know where you are, but I know that God wants to use you. If you're His child, boy, I tell you, God wants to use you. And maybe you think, yeah, oh, well, what can God do through me? There's enough in the Bible, enough examples in the Bible to tell us God uses people never thought about to change the world. And God wants to use you. So never think that who am I that God can use you. No. In fact, if you read Corinthians, it says the gifts that you don't see, they are the most important. It's not all the gifts we see on stage and everywhere that are in the important ones. No. It's the behind the scenes gift, the gift that no one sees, that are of value. I want to end off with a music video by Casting Crowns. This is one of the older songs, I think. And after that song, AJ, can I ask you to come pray, and then we give over to Jeff for the last song. Thanks, guys.